Greetings, I'm Noel Deere. Welcome to today's Daily Devotion. I hope these next few minutes will encourage you as you seek to learn God's Word and abide with Christ. Our focus today is John chapter 8, verses 21 through 35. And in today's message, Jesus continues to speak to those who are gathered in and around the temple. Jesus is going to predict his departure. Once again, he'll make this prediction. But this time, he's going to be straightforward about what happens with those who do not embrace him and the truth that he reveals. So let's begin in verse 21. It says, "Then he said to them again, 'I'm going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come.'" Now let's look at the parts of this declaration. He begins by saying, "I'm going away." What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about his death, his resurrection, and then his ascension into heaven. He is going away. Then he says, "You will die in your sin." He says that because you've not turned to me for forgiveness, he says to his listeners, to these Jewish leaders, because you've not turned to me, you will die because of your sin. And then he says, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." So Jesus is going to heaven, to the right hand of the Father. But these who will die with their sins unforgiven, well, they will go to hell. And so he makes this clear declaration. I'm going to go, but because you've not embraced me, you're guilty of sins, and you cannot go where I will go. Verse 22, "So the Jews said again, 'He won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come.'" The Jewish leaders just don't understand. They don't understand because they don't want to understand. Now, what Jesus is saying about going away and them not being able to follow, this is the second time, by the way, he said this. Back in chapter 7, verses 33 and 34, those who heard him say it assumed that he was going outside of Israel to speak to the Jews around the Mediterranean in northern Africa, what we would call Europe today. Now he says it and they wonder if he's planning to kill himself. Of course, neither one of those was the case. They just didn't understand. Look at 23 and 24. "You are from below," he told them. "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." He makes this so clear. With chilling brevity, Jesus predicted the fate of those who fail to find him. So these religious leaders were the most moral people in Israel. And so this is a surprise to them. Why would Jesus say to these very moral people, these people who were very good at keeping the rules, why did he say that they would die in their sins? Well, first of all, they were moral, but they were not moral enough. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:20. "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus says, while they were moral, they weren't moral enough. Now that presents a problem, because if they were more moral than the others, that means there's no hope for anybody. Well, how moral do you have to be accepted by God? Well, that kind of morality is impossible. I think about Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the human race to see if there is one who is wise, one who seeks God. Yet all have turned away. All alike have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." None of us are worthy because of our morality, because of our rightness, because of our obedience. None of us are so good that we earn a place in heaven. It takes the substituted righteousness of Christ. I can only be accepted by the Father because Jesus is accepted by the Father, and his righteousness, his right standing with God, is applied to me. So how does a person avail himself of what Christ has done for us? Well, the word he gives us here, and he uses this word consistently, is the word believe. Well, believe what? Well, it's not just a belief that there was an interesting historical figure called Jesus. The Jewish leaders believed that. They were standing before him. No, to be a Christian, one must believe the full biblical revelation about Jesus and embrace Jesus as Lord, and that they refused to do. Verse 25, "Who are you?" they questioned. "Exactly what I've been telling you from the very beginning," Jesus told them. And of course, again, they're refusing to believe. Verse 26, "I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him, these things I tell the world." Verse 27, "They did not know he was speaking to them about the Father." Now again, Jesus points to his Father. Jesus and his Father are always in lockstep. Verse 28, "So Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but just as the Father taught me, I say these things.'" Now, the Jews in Jesus' day understood that the expression "lifted up" was an expression for crucifixion. He was talking about when I am crucified. He says, "Then you will know. Then you will know that I am he." Now, it's not that they will believe in the sense of they will trust in him. No, what Jesus is saying is that his claims will be proven true through the crucifixion and the resurrection. How do those events prove that he spoke the truth? Well, because he said that he would be crucified, and then he says that he will be resurrected on the third day. And when that happens just as he said it would, that's the proof that everything he's communicated is true. Verse 29, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him." Now, Jesus says something like this over and over and over in this temple discourse. Why does he say this? Well, the message, as we've already said, as we've already noted, the message is that Jesus and the Father are in lockstep. Everything they do together with one another. Chapter 8, verse 30, "As he was saying these things, many believed in him." Now, most of the religious leaders and maybe most of the people reject Jesus, but some do embrace him. But we're going to see in the next devotion that even those who seem to embrace him, well, that may not have been a genuine embrace. We'll see that in our next devotion. Let me give you a quick praise prompt to wrap this up today. Let's praise God because he is just. He is just. He always does what is just. I think about Deuteronomy 32:4. "The rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God without bias. He is righteous and true." Take a moment today and just praise him in prayer for his justice, his perfect justice. Friends, thanks for watching or listening today. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like or subscribe buttons. On your favorite podcasting app, just search for Pastor Noel's Daily Devotions. I hope you have a great day as you endeavor to abide in Christ.